Have you ever found yourself praying for something good, and your expectations on God and your prayers are not answered? Lord, help save my marriage. Lord, help my husband, my wife, find help and overcome this addiction. Lord, change my kid's heart to love me again, because they hate me now. Lord, grant my mom a few more years of life. I need more time with her. Don't let her die so soon. We have a lot of good prayers, necessary prayers, holy desires that we bring to the Lord. And because He is good and we believe in Him, we naturally expect that He would hear and answer our prayers, at least do something. But then what we expect and what we hope for doesn't happen. And we're downcast. Our hearts are broken. A lot of doubts creep in. Is God real? Is He good? Does He care? Why won't He answer my prayers? I go to Mass every week. I go to confession frequently. What more do I have to do? Is He punishing me? These thoughts, these doubts, these whispers from the evil one cloud our mind and rob us of joy. The disciples on the road to Emmaus were experiencing something similar. They were expecting Jesus to assume the role as king like David, to conquer the Roman Empire, who had horribly oppressed and excessively taxed them for years, robbing them of their freedom and their own self-governance. This Jesus they welcomed on Palm Sunday as the new king, David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They waved palm branches. They placed their coats on the ground as he humbly entered in on a donkey, not a horse, an animal of conquest and power and domination, but a humble mule that carries the burdens of others. They welcomed him. Come, come, Lord Jesus. Conquer our enemies. Lay waste to these Romans and restore us as the days of old of David. Only to find him 5 days later hanging naked on a cross between two thieves as he slowly died. Their hopes were crushed. They couldn't make any sense of it. They were heading back home. Like many of us, our prayers aren't answered. Our expectations of what God should do, rightfully so, just, good, doesn't happen. And we go back to our old sins, just as they were going back to their hometown. Nothing has changed. We've only been discouraged, maybe deceived. Maybe the king we had hoped for, it isn't him. And so now we have to wait again. And while they were journeying back, downcast, broken, Jesus is with them the whole way, and they don't recognize him. In fact, they're a little angry with him. How do you not know what happened in Jerusalem? Were you living under a rock? Technically using a tomb, but they're angry with him, as we can be when God doesn't meet our expectations. And Jesus hears them out. What happened? Tell me. Not because Jesus doesn't know, but he wants to know where they're at. A lot of times we shut ourselves down. We don't tell him where we're at. We think we'd offend God if we told him we were angry or disappointed that he didn't answer our prayers. We think it would be blasphemous to express our disappointments, our anger, our frustrations in God, and voice to him our concerns. Maybe because you haven't read the Psalms, you don't know that that exactly is prayer. It's precisely what David does in the Psalms. Every human emotion, even the darkest, he expresses to God. He learns and knows that his feelings are the wellspring of prayer. And so he opens them up and pours them out to the Lord in the Psalms from his heart, with his harp. God is inviting us to do the same. And when we do, if we allow ourselves to do so, he then explains to us the scriptures, because we're drawn to pick it up. We've just emptied ourselves to the Lord, told him everything we thought and felt, the good, the bad, the ugly. And like anyone that desires relationship, they want to hear from their beloved. It's not enough to talk, unless you're a narcissist. You don't want to hear from anybody but yourself. In our case, we want to hear the Lord respond. And so we're drawn to open the scriptures, to begin just praying with the New Testament, maybe the readings each day at Mass, maybe starting with one of the Gospels. But we want to hear from him. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then we start to learn who this Jesus really is. We realize that who we thought Jesus was a figment of our imagination. a creation based on our own desires, a desire in the goal we want that isn't God. And now we start to learn who God really is. And if we give it time and we're faithful and persistent, we realize it's much more than we could have ever dreamed of and hoped for or asked for. That's what he was for these disciples. He explained to them and showed them that I am more than another King David. When he ruled and conquered, there was peace only by force and violence. I come to bring peace to the heart of every human being, not the absence of war, but a peace that comes from justice between brother and sister because of our generous way of being with one another, a peace that's found in the heart because we are in right relationship with God. The absence of war can never bring that kind of peace, because the most difficult war that we face is the war within ourselves, the war we'd rather not look at, and criticize the unjust wars around us, both in our homes and between nations. Rightfully so, a critique, but nonetheless an avoidance of dealing with the battle within. Jesus invites you and me to say, stay with us, Lord, as they do. Come into my heart. See the darkest areas, the areas that I'm most ashamed of, the areas that I feel you are farthest from me. Shine your light, as the Paschal candle did at the Easter Vigil, and stay with us. When that desire is moved within us, we're drawn to Mass. We realize that we just want to be with him. And we're little by little letting go of what we expect and what we want, and trying to learn of who he actually is. You know from your own experiences that when you marry someone because you want to change them and make them into your own image, or make them how you want them to be, you will inevitably be profoundly disappointed. That relationship's never going to work. But when you learn to love the person simply as they are, and to begin from there without any expectations of change, only the hope to grow in love, that relationship can last a lifetime. Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them because they invited him. Have you invited the Lord to stay with you? Or are you only just telling him what you expect and what you want? Stay with us, Lord. And what did the Lord do? He sat them down and had a meal. Remember Jesus, in a post-resurrection appearance, the apostles are fishing all night. They lived 3 years with Jesus, saw him raise the dead, walk on water, calm the storms, heal the paralytic, the blind, the leper. And what are they doing? They're doing the same thing they did before they met him. Nothing changed. Jesus appears on the shore. They don't recognize him. He tells them, have you caught anything? No. Cast your nets on the other side, as if that's going to make a difference. It's the worst time to fish. The sun has already come up. They do it anyway, and the fish are so great, the boat nearly sinks. John tells Peter, it's the Lord. Peter, impulsive as he is, jumps into the water and starts swimming. The rest of the apostles row into shore and bring the fish, and Jesus simply says to them, come, have breakfast. He's not interested in anything else. He just wants to have a meal with his brothers. Let's just sit and eat together. It's good that you're here. It's good that we're here. Do you ever invite Jesus to join you for a meal? Do you say your prayers before you eat? That's the idea. Jesus, come with me to this meal and let's just be together. Nothing's greater than the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass. And so Jesus breaks the bread. He takes it, breaks it, blesses it, gives it to them. And this word, the breaking of the bread, is used differently here in Greek. Eucharistes. The word that's used is Eucharistia. He gives thanks. You might recognize the word. It sounds like Eucharist, because that's what it is. And that's where we get the word Eucharist from, the Greek of giving thanks. And when he had broken the bread and given thanks, they recognized him. In the Mass, they recognized him. And what do we see? An infinite, all-powerful, omniscient God comes to us under the humble appearance of a very cheap and simple unleavened bread. And he gives himself to us, the body of Christ. Amen. And the infinite God that created the heavens and the earth and all that is that we don't even know of yet appears and comes to our sinful hands. Take and do this in memory of me. It's in the breaking of the bread that we recognize who the God we worship really is. Humble, infinite, humiliated, all-powerful, placed in our sinner's hands because he wants to be with us. When we grow in relationship with others, it's because we are spending time with them, not telling them things or how they should be, but listening and learning who they are and delighting in that without any intention to change. Jesus does that with us, knowing that in allowing him to delight in us, we can be transformed into his likeness. Now, we're not making God into our image and likeness, but he's making us into his own. He did at our creation. He continues through grace by our growth from vice to virtue. Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us? So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem. They returned to their home to pronounce, Christ is risen. God is alive. He's not who we expected. He's someone greater. Can you see him in the breaking of the bread?